white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hey there, Patriots. Good morning. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for Fun with Melly. Good morning, Tammy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So we are on our fourth study on the minor prophets. Today we're jumping into Obadiah, and this is going to be, it's a short one, but it, we're probably going to go back to make sure that you guys really kind of know some of the history of Obadiah, of what Obadiah's writing about. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys are ready. I hope you've done your homework and you're ready to go. So actually, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and get started and jump right in. Let's pray. Thank you again. We praise you, Lord, that you are sovereign. You are above all, and that you are in control of everything. Lord, we put our trust in you. We completely rest in you and your perfect plan. We thank you that what you have written in your word will come to pass, and nothing can stop what is coming because it is your word, your holy word, and we give you honor today and praise because you deserve all the praise because you are the King of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in and through us so that your kingdom will come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that you have called us to this amazing role in this amazing day. We thank you for our wonderful president and all the white hats who are working alongside him. We thank you for this huge blessing, and ask that you would just be with us now as we study your word. Help us to understand it so that we can go and share the good news of the kingdom, that there will be this beautiful golden age that we are embarking on where there'll be health and wealth and peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bought all this for us with your own blood. You did this for us, and we thank you. We'll praise you forever and ever, and that you allowed us to participate in what you're doing. And we will soon see the destruction of our enemies, and they will be gone, and that we'll have peace. We thank you. We praise you, and we ask you to just be with us now. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, I hope you guys are ready. Here is our book right here. I've got the answer key right here. End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. You got the study guide, and I've got the answer key. The teacher gets the answer key. Okay, so I hope you guys have done your study. This one is a very short book. It's just one little chapter. But we need to make sure that we really understand kind of the history of who it is we're talking about, and that's what I think that I didn't really understand years ago when I would read it because I just didn't get it. So here are the contents, what we've done already so far. If you haven't done, if this is your first time joining us, we have done Daniel. We've done the woman in labor, and we did a little short section in Ezekiel about the Great Awakening. And so if you go to our website, is that something I'm doing?
I think I hit a button.
I didn't realize I was sitting. So, all right, so here's my website right here. It's freedomforce.live. Freedomforce.live is my website, or you can type melissaredpill.com. And when you go there, you'll see, I'm going to get a little bit smaller so you can see all the menu choices, videos right here, and go to playlists, and you will see, scroll down just a little bit, and you will see the group study for Minor Prophets. And we already have three of them on there because we're on number four. And so we also have this series of the End Times, so you can see this all for free over on freedomforce.live or melissaredpill.com. All right, so let's jump in. Here is, like I said, Obadiah, and we're going to jump right to that chapter is where we're going today. Sorry about your eyes. Just bear with me real quick. I'm just scroll right down to that. All right. So, you ready, Miss Hammy?
I am.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let me read the whole intro?
Sure.
Okay. The Lord gave only one short prophecy to Obadiah, but it's a good one. This prophecy is dedicated to identifying the culprits of all the devastation of humanity since the time of Abraham. All the mayhem, all the heartbreak falls at the doorstep of Esau, the evil twin of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. Esau's family name became Edom. The Edomites have fought the Israelites from the very beginning. Esau was ruthless and evil, and his family followed his evil ways. Esau wanted to rule the world. Specifically, he wanted to rule over his brother Jacob. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. But Esau knew the irrevocable promise of God. The Lord said, Jacob, the righteous, will rule the earth. And that is what the prophecy of Obadiah is all about.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, okay, so first things first, this book is about bringing down the Edomites, which is the lineage of Esau. Always remember, though, we're not talking about a physical lineage, because the flesh profits nothing. It doesn't matter who your lineage is, your ethnicity, because you know that the kingdom is made up of every tribe and people and nation and language and tongue. Every type of person is going to be in the kingdom. But because a lot of times if you go down that path, then it really turns into racism. You know, it turns into, you know, supremacy of a certain race over another one. And that is clearly not what the Bible teaches. So when we're talking about the Edomites, think of those who have chosen to do evil. It's not about that they were, you know, of the line of Esau. It's not about that. So let's just get that first and foremost out of the way. And especially, you know that because if you look, he was a grandson of Abraham. So if it's about lineage, then he should be righteous, but clearly he was not. So I'll even read to you a passage here in a little bit about from Romans chapter 9, where it's not about your ethnicity. It's about your heart. It's about your actions that speak louder than your words, and it doesn't really matter about your ethnicity. So everyone will stand on their own before the Lord, and it doesn't matter, you know, where you came from. Okay. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. So, actually, I'll do it right here. The other thing I want to say is that, you know, many of you have probably been in church all your life, just like I was, and we are always told that Esau was mistreated, and that Esau was good, and that Jacob was the bad one. Now, I don't think that that's probably what was told to our ancestors when they went to church and heard preaching, but that's what has been in the past, ever since I've been around, and I'm not going to tell you how long that is. It's a while, though. And so this is a big problem that in my opinion, the seminaries were infiltrated, and this was something that was enforced to be talked about, that Jacob was a trickster, and he was terrible. And I have a very different opinion on Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. I have a very different opinion about that. I don't agree with that, that he was evil at all. I believe he's just a regular person, just like any of us. But he was not like Esau. Esau was evil. And that's why I titled this video, The Evil Twin Brother, Jacob's Evil Twin Brother. That's what the case is. All right, now let's go ahead and answer some of these questions, and I'll be reading some of these verses to you as we go. What is the prophecy of Obadiah dedicated to, Miss Tammy, or anybody in the chat?
Okay, yeah, identifying those who are the culprits of being the, you know, devastating humanity since the time of Abraham.
Right, exactly. So whenever you read the prophecy from Obadiah, it's talking about the evildoers and bringing them, as it's going to say in one of the verses, crashing down. That's who we're talking about. So it makes it, once you identify these criminals, the minor prophets are so easy to understand. It really makes it so easy. And I just, you know, whenever I would read the Minor Prophets before I awakened, I was like, who are these people? What have they done? I just didn't get it. And then, you know, I kind of thought it was all ancient history and all that. And so it was just, I just didn't understand it. And now that we're awake and we know what these people have done and that they literally worship Satan, now we know who it's talking about. So just bring it down to really simple terms. And, you know, starting with, though, Esau, and that he was literally someone who chose to side with the evil one, with demons. All right. Number two, what does the mayhem and heartbreak of this prophecy start with?
That's kind of what you just said. Esau, the evil twin brother of Jacob, yep. Abraham's grandson.
Of all things, Abraham's grandson.
Yeah.
I would love to say that if you are righteous, you will always have righteous children and grandchildren. I would love to say that. That's not the, unfortunately, that's not the case. You look straight at Abraham and you see that. That's just the fact. So it's what he had to deal with too. And I'm going to read to you also where he, this is what he said in the book of Jasher. All right. What was the family name for Esau and what were their evil plans against Jacob?
It was Edom.
Uh-huh.
So they were the Edomites.
Right.
So they, bought Israel from the very beginning.
Yep.
Let's see. He wanted to rule the world.
Yes.
And specifically, he wanted to rule over his brother Jacob.
That's right. That's right. He really had no compunction about doing anything that was right. And the problem was, one of the problems was that his dad, Isaac, you know, Isaac was the beloved son of Abraham and Sarah in their old age. You know, they adored Isaac and he could do no wrong. And I think Isaac was really, you know, by all accounts, he was a very, very good man. But he did not realize the truth. And he just couldn't see. He loved Esau so much he could not see Esau's faults. That was one of Isaac's problems. He could not see through to see. And I can understand that. When you love your children, you just sometimes have blinders on. And so he maybe let him get away with things that he shouldn't have. Either way, but yes, yeah, so the book of Obadiah is going to delineate some of the things that Esau's family went from generation to generation did to their family members. They're their cousins. You know, they were Jacob is you know, their uncle, and they just did all this evil to them. So we'll read that here in a minute. But what did Esau know? Number four, what did Esau know about the promise of God regarding Jacob? All right, let's scroll down a little bit. Go ahead.
He knew that, he knew that Jacob was the one to rule the world, not him, even though he wanted it. It was irrevocable, and he couldn't make it change, even though he wanted to.
Right. He messed up. He lost the blessing of God. He was the firstborn. He deserved it, but he lost it because of his foolishness. And the problem was he didn't prize it. He didn't value the blessing of God. And that's so important for us to remember. We really, you know, every time I pray, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that you have, you know, allowed us to be, you know, to hear you and to be connected to you and to hear your voice and to be a part of what you're doing. You know, the Lord has blessed us so much with this. And so we don't want to take it for granted. And that's what Esau did. He took for granted that blessing. All right. So now before we get to the prophecy, let's review the historical account of Jacob and Esau that is in Genesis 25. And the funny thing is it starts, before we get going, don't forget to hit the like button, everybody. Hit the like button. Hit the share, hit the subscribe. Make sure you do all that before we go on. So everybody done? Did you do that already? So do that for us and then we'll be able to get going. All right, so I don't want to forget that because you know how I do. All right, so now, in this passage in Genesis chapter 25, Tammy, would you read this to us? Because this is what happened when Rebecca is trying to have a baby. And she's having a hard time getting pregnant, okay? And even when she did get pregnant, she's having a hard time in the pregnancy. And it's that theme continues from time after time after time. You know, Rachel had a hard time having babies. You know, this is a continual theme. And it's, you know, it's it goes back to what I always talk about, this about the woman in labor. Everybody knows this sign of the Son of Man on my main page of my website. I'm going to go real quick to the main website. This is about this woman in labor, the sign of the Son of Man, that we are birthing the kingdom. So it's a theme in God's word where they talk about, God points out that it's not easy to birth, to give birth to goodness in the world. It's not easy to give birth to righteousness into these precious children. All right, so it's labor. All right, so here we go, Miss Tammy.
Okay, so let me start with 21. You had 19 up there. Okay,
go ahead with the...
It's in the book.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. Yahweh was entreated by him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her. She said, "If it is like this, why do I live?" She went to inquire of Yahweh. Yahweh said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. The one people will be stronger than the other people. The elder will serve the younger."
Yes. And I think that, I think what she's saying, that the way that this is written is a little bit funny. The way it's, if it's like this, why do I live? In other words, is this gonna kill me? And, you know, those of you who have been in difficult pregnancies and difficult labors, you know what she's talking about. You're like, especially if you've got, you know, I know I've never had twins, but I've had one baby in there who's kicking and carrying on and like, what are you doing? Dancing and jigging this right here in my belly. And so if you had two of them in there and they're both going like this business, they're wrestling in your body. It's like, they're going to, you know, punch me out. Right. So this indicates that they were fighting even before they were born. Okay, and it's going to really connect the dots to Romans chapter 9. You're going to see that. But yeah, so she was barren, but the Lord answered his prayer and let her become pregnant, which is a miracle, you know, another miracle baby, because Sarah had a hard time, you know, they had a hard time getting pregnant. Now Rebecca's having a hard time getting pregnant, and now you're going to see Rachel is going to have a hard time getting pregnant. I mean, that is just, you know, not necessarily typical. This is very a spiritual war that was going on, and the enemy was trying to stop the kingdom from being born from the very outset. And that's actually, if you remember from the signs in the heavens, right below Virgo is the serpent, and Ophiuchus is wrestling the serpent, and the serpent is there trying to, as it talks about also in Revelation, trying to stop the baby from being born. And so the enemy's trying to stop the kingdom from being born for years and years and years. All right, so I'm going to read a real super quick in the NLT version, because I do like the NLT. It's a little bit easier to follow. So starting at verse 21, it says, let me go back up and refresh it. I'm going to go back like this. Go for verse 21 in the NLT version. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins, but the two struggled with each other in the womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. Why is this happening to me? What's going on in my belly? And she asked the Lord. He said to her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations." And again, don't think of nations like normal nations like France and Italy. Think of these warring good versus evil. So that was going on inside her womb. And that's really what we have been experiencing as humanity, this struggle of good versus evil. And we're trying to get this kingdom born, right? For from the very beginning, they will be rivals. One will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. All right, so it has not appeared that way, because it appears that the evildoers have been ruling over us. But they might think that, but the kingdom has continued to advance. They've not been able to stop the babies from being born, you know, or Christ from fulfilling his mission, or the kingdom from advancing and going into all the world. They've not been able to stop it. Yay, nothing can stop what is coming, and they won't be able to stop what's happening now, right? All right, so does that make sense to everybody? Does anybody have a question about that? We'll watch the chat, and maybe Songbird, let me know if anybody has a question about any of that. That's what's going on with Esau and Jacob. And his name at that point was still Jacob. It had not been changed to Israel at that point. All right. So any more of the points you want to bring out before we move on, Miss Tammy?
No. That's good.
All right. So what does this passage begin with that we have seen before? And I've already answered that, but go ahead and just answer that real quickly.
The woman in labor.
Yep. So who is the woman in labor in this passage, of course?
It's Rebecca in this passage.
Right.
Is that what you're thinking?
Right. Okay. Right. It's Rebecca. And so what do Jacob and Esau symbolize? So I already answered that one too, but go ahead and say that.
Struggle with versus good versus evil.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but Esau was firstborn. What did he want?
To be first in everything.
Right.
He was a tyrant. He realized he wasn't going to happen.
Right. Well, and he's been mad about that ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to want to be first. And we see it with what's coming out in the news right now, you guys. This whole Obamagate is just blowing up. Here we are, July 19th, 2025. And we're seeing that they didn't want President Trump to take office. And so they were going to do whatever they had to do to try to thwart it and to do a coup. And, Tulsi Gabbard, our DNI, actually called it treason. This is the very same mentality where they've just done this. They just can't stand the thought of anyone else, the righteous ruling. All right. So would you read number 9 for us?
Okay. From the very beginning, Jacob and Esau would symbolize the struggle of good versus evil. Esau was the firstborn, and he demanded to be first in everything. Some children want to be a firefighter or a doctor when they grow up. Esau wanted to be a tyrant. He wanted to be Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and Rockefeller and Fauci all rolled into one. Jacob, on the other hand, was fairly docile. It seemed that he tried to steer clear of his bully brother, and he didn't poke the bear. But there was one thing Jacob wanted and was willing to fight for. He wanted the blessing of the firstborn. He wasn't after the cash and prizes. Jacob wanted the blessing that was promised to Abraham. He wanted to be the great-great-great-grandfather of the Savior of the world and to rule the world in righteousness.
You got to hand it to him. You got to hand it to him that he had that foresight and to understand that. Now, his grandfather, of course, was Abraham. And I'm sure that Abraham had told him about the blessing of God. And that it was going, and that Isaac was this miracle baby. They knew that. And the thing is, they grew up side by side. They grew up side by side, and one received and humbled himself before the Lord, and the other one didn't. Esau did not. And I'm really, looking back, I'm just so disappointed in the modern church that they would teach the wrong thing about Esau, because it's clear that he was, doing evil. It was very, very clear, but they just didn't want to teach it that way because they want it to be like, oh, well, everybody's all the same. Everybody's all the same. There's no good and evil. It's just all, mix it all together. And that's not the case. And Esau was an evil tyrant. And he did cause his parents a lot of grief, especially because he married multiple women that were demon worshipers. So they were just really bad news, especially as they got older. All right, so what did Jacob want? Genesis 12, verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who treats you with contempt, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. This is what Jacob wanted. This was the blessing that was going to flow through Abraham. And it wasn't because he wanted the money or the power just for the sake of power. He wanted for the world to be run right. And that's where you and I are. We want, we're not doing this for fame. We're not doing this for money. We're doing this because we want everyone to be treated right. We cannot stand anymore for children to be harmed. We cannot stand anymore for the people of, any other country to have these, just to be war torn, and for there to be, these children, become, orphans. We cannot stand anymore to watch people being sick and just taking whatever Big Pharma sends to them. I mean, all these things, just we can't abide it. And that is the same heart that Jacob had. Whereas Esau wanted not only for people to suffer, he wanted to be the perpetrator of these evil things. And we're going to We're going to get to reading the book of Obadiah in just a second, but I just want you to hear the history of where Jacob was coming from. And so this is where Genesis 15:5, the Lord took Abraham out to, let me write this down, Genesis 12:2. All right. I want to focus on how this is what the Lord was telling to Abraham. I didn't really make that clear in the book, so I want to make that real clear. This is what the Lord was telling to Abraham in chapter 15, verse 5. Yahweh brought him outside, Abraham outside, and said his name at that point was Abram. The Lord keeps changing people's names, but that I'm not going to go into that right now. Anyway, he said, look now into this toward the sky and count the stars if you're able to count them, which you're not able to. But he said to Abram, so your offspring will be. So your offspring will be. And of course, he did have a huge family. This is before he even had one child. He had, you know, this was before he even had Isaac. But it's not just about his physical seed. Again, it's not about the flesh. It's about that we who have the same faith as Abraham are children of Abraham. It's a huge importance. Huge importance, because that is what identifies you and me as a true Israelite, is that we believe God and it's counted to us as righteousness, just like Abraham did. We have the same faith as Abraham. We believe him. And he says, because you believe me, that's all I'm asking you to do, is to believe me and believe my word. Because we believe him and we believe him and we follow through and obey him, he says, I'm going to count you as righteous. He knows that we haven't done everything perfect in our lives. He knows that better than we do. But he still counts us as righteous because of the blood of Christ, and that his blood is so amazingly powerful that it can not only remove our sins, it can also make us stand righteous and blameless in God's sight. Perfect in God's sight, blameless in God's sight. Receive that today. Believe that today. You are perfect and righteous in God's sight. To be honest, that's the only way that you can go before him and in prayer. That's the only way, is because you are perfect in his sight because of our Lord Jesus. And that's why we continually praise him. All right, so this is what he wanted. Jacob wanted this blessing. He wanted the blessing that was going to flow through Abraham to go to him. And so he wanted it because he wanted it to be done righteously, because he knew if Esau ran things, it would be like what we're seeing in this world right now. All right. Does that make sense, everybody? Does anybody have a question about that? I'll look at the chat while you are reading number. Oh, did you want to add anything else before we go on to the next one?
Nope. You got it.
All right.
He wanted to bless the world, and yes, Esau wanted it all for himself.
Yes. Thank you. Making that just real clear. Thank you. Okay. Number 10. What does read number 10 for us?
Okay. Jacob wanted all these blessings, and most importantly, he wanted the Savior of mankind to come from his family. Jacob had that amazing foresight, and when the right moment came, Jacob went for it. On the other hand, it is important to understand Esau's evil nature. Esau hated God. Esau cared nothing for his birthright. All Esau cared about was raw power and getting his way. Here's a prime example. To prove to humanity the disdain and disregard Esau had for his birthright, Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn child of Isaac and grandson of Abraham for, wait for it, okay, a bowl of stew.
Right. That's crazy.
It seems incredulous, but that's exactly what Esau did. He threw away the blessing of God for a bowl of stew. It wasn't even a steak dinner with all the fixings. Esau said he was about to starve. Please, give me a break. Just to make sure Esau wouldn't go back on his promise, Jacob made Esau swear an oath. I don't know if it was a pinky swear or if they said, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Rest assured, Jacob made sure Esau kept his bargain. This pathetic episode proves that Esau did not deserve the birthright. What did Esau sell his birthright for, and why? Part of the question. So read it.
Yeah.
Genesis 25:27. The boys grew. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he ate his venison. Rebecca loved Jacob. Jacob boiled stew. Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Please, feed me with some of that red stew, for I am famished." Therefore his name was called Edom. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. 31, Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die. What good is the birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." He swore to him. He sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank, rose up, and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright.
Right, right. And yeah, despise is to think nothing of it. Just like throw it away for nothing, for a bowl of stew, right? And so, you know, it was not that Jacob tricked him. It was that he didn't, you know, they both knew that he cared nothing for that. And he was going to, you know, he felt that he would get his way and he didn't need the blessing of God. He could get his way either way. All right. So yeah, that's the heart, the wicked heart of Esau. He did not believe that he didn't believe God. He didn't believe God. We believe that we need God. We need his spirit because we can't do anything without his spirit. But he thought he could do it all himself. Here also just say, this is very telling here. Isaac loved Esau because he ate his venison. Rebekah loved Jacob. That's not cool. That was probably not the wisest way to run a family, but that's how they did it. That was not smart, but that's how they did it. And so, yeah, I think because Isaac thought of him as, hey, he's so cool. He's a, you know, hunter. Look how cool he is, you know. And that was where, you know, Isaac was looking at the outside of a person rather than the heart. That was what got Isaac all messed up. And later on, he admitted it. He realized that he had looked at things wrongly, but it was a little late. Thankfully, Rebekah had saved the day. And so I don't think I'm not even going into all of that, the whole story, but you can read the whole story, but I'll just cut to the chase. Rebekah and Jacob knew that Esau had sold the birthright. He had done that. He had sold the, we just saw that with the stew. So it was trade, fair and square. Now the birthright belonged to Jacob. The Lord knew, Abraham knew, Isaac knew, Rebekah knew, Esau knew, Jacob knew, everybody knew. This is the way it is. But when the time came for Isaac to give the blessing, he was going to still give it to Esau. That was wrong for Isaac to do that. And so Rebekah heard. Now Isaac at this point, he's older. His eyesight has just about gone. He can't see very well. And Rebekah and Jacob went and they tricked Isaac into doing what he should have done anyway, to give the blessing to Jacob. And, you know, they put, you know, hairy skin on his arms and made him smell, you know, stinky like Esau, and, you know, made venison like Esau would make. And they were able to trick, and he disguised his voice, the whole thing. They tricked him and he received this blessing. And here is the blessing right here in Genesis chapter 27, about where he's going to receive this blessing. So, you know, he already deserved it because of the stew, but he's going to receive this blessing. And we're going to read that in just a second. Before we do that, I guess I better slow down. So he treated it as worthless, and Esau just wanted raw power. We already know about that. But in the book of Jasher, which is mentioned in Joshua 10:13 says, if you want to read more information about this, go read the book of Jasher. And in the book of Jasher, it records that Abraham warned Isaac and Rebekah, do not trust Esau. I probably should pull that verse up. I probably should put it in the book. But yeah, this is, he warned them, do not trust Esau. And because he knew that Jacob, he wanted the blessing to go to Jacob. So he wanted the blessing to go to Jacob, who deserved it and would honor the covenant with God. Unfortunately, Isaac was so enamored by Esau's manly ways as a mighty hunter, he foolishly wanted to give the birthright to Esau anyway. But after some doing, Jacob got the blessing and there was no taking it back. Jacob received the irrevocable blessing of God. He would rule the world, including Esau. Esau is still mad about that. They do not like the idea of being told how they should act. You know, mm-hmm. that they can't kill people. They don't like that. They don't like being told that they can't steal from people. So here is, what does the book of Jasher record about Abraham's thoughts regarding Jacob and Esau?
Okay. Yeah. And this, Abraham warned Isaac and Rebekah not to trust Esau.
Right. And so that he wanted the birthright to go to Jacob. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I need to probably add that verse in there from the book of Jasher. In a second, maybe I'll try to find that. Anyway, all right, so now the blessing is that it's being, you know, rightfully going to Jacob. They're having to do a little trickery. Yes, they're having to trick Isaac because he's not willing to do the right thing. But this is what, thankfully, Rebekah made this happen by the grace of God. All right, so what is the blessing in Genesis 27, 28 and 29 that Jacob received?
God give you all the dew of the sky, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be everyone who blesses you.
That's it. That pretty much covers it. Anything that he would be, he received the blessing of Abraham, and he would have everything. There was really no loopholes in that blessing. The dew of the sky, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of grain and new wine. I'll let people serve you and nations bow down to you. You rule the world. And this is what he was intending to give to Esau. And he knew he couldn't trust Esau. He was, you know, really, the enemy had gotten him all messed up in the head. He'd be lord over your brothers. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. I mean, he was intending for Esau to rule over Jacob. Cursed be everyone who curses you. Blessed be everyone who blesses you. This blessing of God is it's important. It is real. And this was the blessing that Jacob received. And even though the Edomites have fought against us, and the Satan worshipers have fought against us for all these years, they have not been able to stop the kingdom of Christ from coming to fill the earth. The people in the back in the day, many of them worship Satan. But really now, it's a very, very small percentage. You know, are we perfect? No. But we don't worship Satan. We're not worshiping Satan. Okay. You know, I'm going to just say this super quick. I mean, you know, this whole thing of this man and this woman cheating, you know, everybody has seen that. Back in the day, nobody would have cared. You know, before the kingdom of Christ had come and where people were, now they're like, no, we're not up for cheaters. We're not. I mean, they're getting public mockery and shame because people realize that, you know, they believe in being faithful to your spouse. That right there tells you where we are in humanity. You know, there are some cultures that it's like, of course they're going to cheat on their spouse. Of course. Why, you know, why would you care? You know, but that's not, Americans don't put up with that. And I think really humanity doesn't either. And humanity is not going to put up with the treason, and they're not going to put up with the blackmail, as we see that they're up in arms about the Epstein, and they're not going to put up with people hurting kids. If we have, we're not going to let these evildoers rule over us. That's really what is at stake here. We will not let them rule over us. So we're standing up for ourselves and the children and humanity. All right. So now let's go on to number 12.
In other words, Jacob, the righteous who love and follow God, received the full blessing. Jacob, the righteous, is destined to rule the world, the earth, in righteousness. Esau and the Edomites have been fighting this decision of the Lord ever since. Time after time, whenever we read about the Edomites, they are doing evil. and fighting against God's people. That would be the subject of another entire book. Just remember, the Edomites, the followers of Esau, are evil. What does the blessing say about Jacob's brothers and kindreds? So that the good will be the master over the evil, I guess, over his brother and his brother's families, that Jacob would be the master.
Right.
The good will ultimately rule.
Yes. All right, because I was looking in here, see if I could find it. It's in Jasher chapter 26 is this portion about where Abraham was talking to them about Esau. I think it's in Jasher 26, so I didn't think about pulling that up before. But anyway, so this is basically that was what Abraham was saying, do not to trust Esau, and he did not want the blessing to go through to Esau. But he knew Isaac was the one who was basically in control of the blessing, and so he was the one who could pass it down. Abraham couldn't pass it down. All right, so the blessing is that they would only be able to the blessing would always go to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So who does Jacob/Israel symbolize?
Those who love and follow God.
Right.
The Lord.
Right. And who Esau and the Edomites symbolize?
Those are fighting against God.
Right. Right.
God's people. Evil.
Right. Just like in Rebecca's womb. Good versus evil. All right. And one more verse before we actually read Obadiah. You're like, okay, I thought this study was on Obadiah. It is, because it'll really make more sense now that you know the history of Esau. Okay, so here's a passage in Romans 9 that is probably one of the toughest verses in the whole Bible. This is a very odd verse. It only makes sense if you understand good versus evil and what was going on. And you saw that they were struggling even before they were born. So let me read to you Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Not only so, but Rebekah also conceived by our father Isaac, for being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the elder will serve the younger. Even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. That is a very tough verse. That's a very tough passage, but it's a very important truth to understand, is that you stand in the place of faith right now because of the blessing of God. It is not because of him who wills or him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. That it's the Bible says very clearly that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know, if we were left to ourselves like Esau, we would be just like him. The only difference in any of the accounts is because of God's blessing on your life, that he touched your heart and changed you. He turned you into a new creation that believes. He did the same for Abraham. He did the same for Isaac. He did the same for Jacob. And he's done the same for you and me. We have that same faith because of the Spirit of God. It's very important. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. This is a gift from God so that no one can boast. No one can say, oh, well, I'm a better person than so-and-so. No, the only way that any of us stand in this grace is because of the grace of God. It was a blessing. And the unfortunate situation is the Lord had chosen. Let me take that back. I won't even say it that way. The truth is that the Lord was going to have mercy on Jacob and give him a new heart of flesh, a new heart to obey, a new heart to believe. And he was going to leave Esau to himself. All of us, if we're left to ourselves, like I said, will be just like Esau. That is the truth. That is the truth. And so we just give thanks and praise to the Lord that he has changed our hearts and changed our lives to obey him. I'm so thankful that he did not leave us to ourselves. There's an old song by Fanny Crosby. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Have you ever heard that song? Mm-hmm. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. It's an amazing thing that the Lord has called on us, that we have turned to him in faith. It's a blessing. It's the blessing of God. It's the only thing that matters. And so just give thanks and praise that you stand in that grace. It's a beautiful blessing. And so this is what happened with Esau. He got left to himself. And look what these people who followed in his footsteps, like the Soroses, like the Obamas and the Faucis, they like the Bill Gates and all these, they have chosen to do evil because they have not had been turned into new creations. That's the only difference. It really, really is. Okay. All right. So question 14, what does this passage say about how God chooses people? And what does the Lord do in the heart of Jacob? What did he do in the heart of Jacob? And what did the Lord do in the heart of Esau?
All right. He chooses the people according to his own purposes. Yep. And he chose to change Jacob's heart to serve him in humanity. And he chose to leave Esau in his evil ways.
Yep. So that if you've never heard that before, I want everyone to just give praise to the Lord and thank the Lord that he changed you, have to give you a new heart. All right, that's the truth. All right, so now we're going to read Obadiah. All right, so I'm going to do something very weird. I'm going to start at the last verse so that you know where we're headed in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 21. Saviors will go up on Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be Yahweh's. All right, so saviors, what is this talking about? It's really talking about us. Of course, we're not the savior, but we are working hard to save the world. And we are going up on the mountain of Zion, the mountain of the Lord, to bring judgment down on the evildoers who followed in the footsteps of Esau. And my favorite part is the kingdom will be Yahweh's. He will be the king. The Lord will be king over the earth. Finally. Now, we have already known he's the king. Our Lord Jesus was born the king. He was born king, but it has not appeared that way on earth because of all this evil going on. But this will be finally where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the king. All right. So that's where we're going in this very short passage of a book of Obadiah. All right. So now, remember, as we read this, you see Edomites, that's Esau, evildoers, right? And you see, Obadiah did not spare any expense on telling what was going to happen to these evildoers. So go for it, Tammy.
Okay, so the vision of Obadiah. This is what the Lord Yahweh says about Edom. We have heard news from Yahweh. And an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let's rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, and you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, who says in his heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you mount on high as the eagle, and though your nest is set among the stars, I will bring you down from there, says Yahweh. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, what disaster awaits you? Wouldn't they only steal until they had enough? If grape pickers came to you, wouldn't they leave some gleaning grapes? How Esau will be ransacked, how his hidden treasures are sought out. All the men of your alliance have brought you on your way, even to the border. The men who were at peace with you have deceived you and prevailed against you. Friends who eat your bread lay a snare under you. There is no understanding in him. Won't I, in that day, says Yahweh, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mountains of Esau? Your mighty men to man will be dismayed to the end that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's okay. That's good. Thank you so much for doing that. All right. So it's not easy to read. So I understand. All right. So look at this. It says the pride in your heart. What we were just talking about is the Lord has given us a humble heart to say, Lord, we want to obey you. We humble ourselves before you and recognize that you are the king. We are not. You are the one, and you tell us, you know, what to do and how to do it. And so, but their pride, they say, oh, you've dwelled in the clefts of the rock. Why, their habitation is on high. Who's going to bring me to the ground? They just act like God you can't do anything to them. And, you know, for all of history, they've slid right off into hell and not realizing that this is, you know, yes, the Lord is able to do something to them. But while they're on earth, they didn't believe that. They didn't believe God, that he was able to do anything and that he was over them. So they've just been in this ivory tower in this high place, and they've been able to get away with things. And they said, this is exactly what we're seeing. They believe they can get away with all these things. And it's very interesting to watch. Let's see what happens with all these who are being literally brought crashing down right now before our eyes. We haven't even gotten to the top. As I posted this morning, we've got, you know, the Obama and the intelligence community, that it's now come out that they literally worked a coup against a sitting president, which Tulsi Gabbard said was treason. But we need to get to the people above them, right? And they feel it. There's no one who can reach them. You see, I'm sure in your cloud, in your sky, just like I see in my sky, they are, you know, doing chemtrails even to this day. You know, so there are people above super government. They're above the governments that feel like they don't have anyone to answer to. So though you mount on high as an eagle, and though you nest, your nest is set among the stars, I will bring you down from there. I think in another verse it says, I will bring you crashing down. I will bring you crashing down. This is what we are witnessing, that they will be brought crashing down. This is what we are waiting for, this huge crash. Like Humpty Dumpty, you know, they're going to come crashing down. And it says here in verse 5, you know, if thieves came at night, what disaster awaits you? Wouldn't they only steal until they had enough? They wouldn't take everything. If grape pickers came, they would leave you some of the grapes, right? Not us. We're going to ransack them. Every hidden treasure will be sought out. Every last nook and cranny will be cleaned out. Everything they have taken from us will be taken back. This is what is going to happen. This is talking about this new world order, this criminal cabal, this satanic criminal network. Everything will be taken away from them. You know, and the honest truth is, where they're going, they won't need it, or they won't be able to use it. There you go. All right. So, and it says here, I find this very interesting. Friends who eat your bread lay a snare for you. In other words, they're working against each other. Now, who knows about Epstein, whether he's alive? I don't know. But it would be very interesting if he is turning state's evidence. We'll find out that he may have been laying a snare for them. And, you know, we know that he was using all this to control them. So we know the man has no compunction. he'll do anything that he feels will help him to skate justice. So anyway, we'll see how all that works out. But yeah, they will promise peace while plotting to deceive and destroy. They will set traps for you. Every single one of the New World Order minions will be cut down. What does the Lord promise will happen to Edom?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You.
I thought you were so tiny. Everything will be taken back. Everything will come, will be searched and looted. They'll be ransacked. Every treasure is going to be found and taken.
Right. Yeah. Yay. Exactly. So if anybody tells you that that's not going to happen, that there will never be justice, just take them straight to Obadiah. The Lord says that this is going to happen. Every hidden treasure will be sought out. Everything will be ransacked. Not one grape will be left. Not one little tiny thing will be left. We'll take every last thing that they have taken away from us. All right. Like I said, they won't need it where they're going. All right. So now do the next passage for us, please.
Okay. For the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away his substance and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were like one of them. But don't look down on your brother in the day of his disaster, and don't rejoice over children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Don't speak proudly in the day of distress. Don't enter into gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Don't look down on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither seize their wealth on the day of their calamity. Don't stand in the crossroads to cut off those of his who escape. Don't deliver up those of his who remain in the day of distress.
Right. In other words, they shouldn't have done that. They should not. They knew. These people were already struggling when they were, you know, fleeing from their enemies, Jacob's family. When they would have a problem, the Edomites would come and make it worse. Mm-hmm. They would cut them off from being able to get away. They would seize their wealth on the day of calamity. You know, you had to leave your house to go because there was a potential hurricane or a storm. Oh, people come and steal everything you have. They would steal their stuff. You know, it's just they would do anything and everything to make it even worse. When already someone is going through calamity, they don't have even the tenderness of heart to not only not to help them, but actually they end up making it worse. And so this is just pure evil. It's just pure evil. So it's just, you know, we've seen that kind of thing, you know, and this is what they've done to us, you know, and I go into some of the details of, you know, what we've experienced. This is from this evil, wicked, empty heart of theirs. They shouldn't have done that. When we were sick, they mandated CDC guidelines that would not make us better, but rather would cause us to suffer an agonizing death and separated from our loved ones. I mean, with no heart. And they knew what they were doing. They knew remdesivir would cause someone's blood, lungs to fill with fluid. They knew it. And they did it. They made this the protocol that the hospitals would do. And they also say, well, if you were damaged from the jab, oh, we created this where you can come and get a, you know, a recovery, you know, for what, like one, if you're paralyzed, most of it they have immunity from, but there's a government fund that you can come and get compensation, but only if it's something like paralysis. But then you go and do that and it's, oh, you didn't cross this T, you didn't dot that I. I mean, it is madness. It's absolute madness. I just did a video with Sherry Tenpenny the other day about that, and it's just reading her book. It will just set your hair on fire. It makes you so aggravated how they're just so empty of any human compassion at all. When they've taken our youth to the battlefields to be cannon fodder, because they've taken in demons. The demons demand that they kill humanity. This is in their hearts to literally kill humanity. They have gleeful, demonic delight in harming humanity. This is who we're up against. It's awful. It's awful. You know, they made us work countless hours. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say North Carolina, Hawaii, California, Texas. You know, and some of the comments that I see where they, you know, that it's like, oh, if you're MAGA, you deserve it. Or, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, and even beyond that, that this was intentional.
Intentional, yes.
That they've intended that would do weapons. Like right now, that in California, they're, you know, they we know what this was from. These fires were intentionally set. Right. And we've seen the evidence of that. And now they're saying, oh, you can't build on this. We're confiscating the land that just came out this week. Of course, we knew they were going to do that. Oh, and they're building some kind of, you know, whatever for themselves. It's mm-hmm. just, it's absolute evil, pure mm-hmm. from the pits of hell. They made us work countless hours, and mm-hmm. you just struggle to pay the bill collector. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on. They've taxed us to the point where we own nothing, and we're in debt just to pay for food on the table. The Edomites, these are the Edomites, selfish, conniving, ruthless, heartless, without mercy. The Lord did not forget the evil that they had done to his precious ones. This is exactly what you were just reading from Obadiah 11 through 14. They shouldn't have spoken proudly in the day of someone's distress when they're struggling to pay the bill collector and then they put more taxes on us. They shouldn't have stood in the gate when the people were trying to escape from a flood or the fire. They shouldn't have brought seizing their wealth on the day of their calamity, seizing their homes, seizing their property, going in and stealing stuff when they had to flee their home. Taking the children. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. This, who is this? This is, of course, the New World Order. This is exactly what they have done on purpose, because of the demons that compel them to do evil. It's hard for you and I can't even imagine it because we don't have demons, thankfully, inside us. All right, so that's what it was recounting. The awful history of the Edomites. Now, what did they show about the Edomites of today? That's what we just talked about in question number 17. So the 18 is the Edomites are not necessarily about a bloodline, but they represent what kind of people?
Evil, ruthless, yep. conniving, yep. heartless,
yep, yep,
and
yep.
no mercy, Satan right. worshippers.
Yep, that's who we're up against. Now it makes perfectly good sense. Doesn't Obadiah make perfectly good sense to you guys now? Now that we know who we're up against, Obadiah's like, of course that's who it's talking about. Duh. You know, it's not about just some ancient history. It's talking about who we're up against now, the same types of Satan worshipers now. All right, the Lord didn't forget the evil of the Edomites, what they did to his precious ones. So read Obadiah 1:15, please, and 16.
For the day of Yahweh is near, all the nations. Remember, godless nations means the cabal, beast of revelation, antichrist, not a particular nation like France. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations will drink continually. Yes, they will drink, swallow down, and will be as though they had not been.
Right, right. What is that talking about in verse 16? All the nations, all the evildoers will drink continually. They will drink. They will swallow it down. They will be as though they had not been. What in the world? Okay, so, you know, sometimes, have you seen President Trump? Sometimes he'll, I don't know, something about him drinking some water. They're like, watch the water. That's a picture of, it's symbolic of, drink down the dregs of judgment. He's like, I think he's pointing that out, that they will drink down these dregs and they will not escape justice. Let me see if I can go to the other version of, what did I do with that? Obadiah. I'm going to read Obadiah from the NLT. It's a little bit easier to understand. Let me just do that real super quick. And I was not able to use that in the book because it's not open source. So this is verse 15. Let me read it from the NLT super quick. It says, the day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all the godless nations or the evildoers. Okay, don't think of nations like, yeah, France. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, all your nations will drink and stagger and disappear mm-hmm. from history. The Bible says we'll look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. They will be gone. And their names will be forgotten, and the names of their idols will be forgotten. That's in another one of the minor prophets we haven't gotten to yet. But yeah, so this is very good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's not letting them skate justice. They will pay for what they've done. All right, question number 19.
The Edomites, followers of rebellious Esau, also known as the New World Order Cabal, will receive the just punishment for what they have done to humanity. They will swallow down the last dregs of the cup of justice. They will disappear from history. These fools thought we were down for the count, but we have come roaring back. There will be no survivors who follow Esau's evil ways. None. Amen. What are we promised will happen to the Edomites?
Amen. Wiped out. Gone.
Wiped out. Disappear from history. Woo! No survivors.
Amen. Amen. Believe it. Who in here believes this? Who believes God's word? I believe God's word. And so we were talking a little bit yesterday. I was on Jordan Clark's show. We did a show together. And so, you know, someone was like, oh, well, should I not believe the Bible? And I said, I definitely believe the Bible. There's plenty of evidence, plenty of apologetics that prove that the Bible is the word of God. Now, so I think the biggest issue is sometimes the interpretation has been off, but the word of God is true. And they've led us astray because of the interpretation. But the word of God is still true. And if you ever doubt it, go look at the sign of the Son of Man, which I've shown you 1,000 times. This sign right here was delineated by John 2,000 years ago in Revelation chapter 12, 1 and 2. And sure as the world, it happened. And 1 month later, humanity woke up. So that tells you right there, it's true truth and nobody can change it. What they've done, though, is they can easily dupe people who don't know the word and can be easily used to trick people and to send them in the wrong direction. And that's why we're studying the word, we're reading the word, we're asking the Lord to help us to discern the word so that we are not tricked. Thank you, Lord, that he's helped us to do that. Thank you, Lord. All right. The last thing is the amazing last verse. This is not the last one. We're coming up on the last one. Obadiah 1:17. What does that say?
But in Mount Zion, there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. The house of Jacob will possess their possessions.
Woo, 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 woohoo. Yay. Not only the verse before it, it says that they will be punished and erased from history, right, and be brought down to judgment. But looky here, that would be great. But we need this verse too, that we will possess their possessions. We will escape. We will escape all their evil things that they have done to us. And the whole earth will be holy. We'll reclaim what was rightfully ours, our health, our wealth, our peace, our unity. And like I said, I'm working on the book on the Golden Age. We have to have it all because it doesn't help to have the wealth if you don't have the health. If humanity is going to die off, it doesn't help to have the health if you don't have the peace. We need it all. We need the understanding. We need it all. And that's what the Golden Age is about. We're no longer going to be under their boot. So we have to have the health, the wealth, the peace, the unity, you know, all these things for our whole world. And the thrones where the righteous will rule. That is what is promised for the righteous. Praise the Lord. All right. So now read for us, please, Miss Tammy, verses 18 through 20.
Okay, the house of Jacob will be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. They will burn among them and devour them. There will not be any remaining to the house of Esau. Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. Those who of the south will possess the mountain of Esau, and those of the lowland, the Philistines. They will possess the field of Ephraim and the field of Samaria. Benjamin will possess Gilead. The captives of this army of the children of Israel, who are among the Canaanites, will possess even to Zarephath. And the captives of Jerusalem, who are in Zarahad, will possess the city of the Negev. Saviors will go up on Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be Yahweh's.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. Is it basically saying, instead of them destroying us, we'll destroy them. That's what the Lord said. We will possess. The south will possess the mountain of Esau. Those of the lowland, the Philistines, they'll possess the land, the field of Ephraim, the field of Samaria. Benjamin will possess Gilead. We'll possess it all. It's all coming back to us. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The captives of this army of the children of Israel will be among the Canaanites, and they'll possess even to Zarephath. So I think that's way far in like, look, basically Gaza. And the captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad, I don't know where that is, will possess the cities of the Negev. Bottom line, there will be not anything remaining in the house of Jacob. There will not be anything remaining to the house of Esau. Nothing left. Not a grape, not anything. It's going to be destroyed root and branch. Not even their memory. Okay, they'll be wiped out from history. Yahweh has spoken. So this is the beautiful promise. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this prophecy through Obadiah so that we know this. Now, this is not the only place that this is talked about, but this is a good one. And that's what I was saying, that the very first part of this chapter is he only gave him one chapter, but it's a good one. So very, very good news. We will possess all of this. And don't think of just this Middle East. So what they were doing was they were thinking of their land. So think of from the north to the south, to the east to the west, from every corner, the entire, just like us saying, we'll possess the land from Florida to California to, you know, New York to Texas, all around, everything will be free. That's what it's talking about. Okay. And this promise, Esau is so mad about this. The evildoers are so mad about this because we have the destiny to save the world. We have the destiny to be free. And they are so mad about this. They've tried everything. We all know that the evildoers have tried everything in the world to stop this. But the irrevocable promise of God cannot be changed. That's what irrevocable or irrevocable, either way you want to say it, that is where it cannot be changed. The Lord promised this, and it's the promise of God is sure and amen. And it says nothing can stop what is coming because this is biblical. This is why I'm always like so confident. And now you see this, the book of Obadiah, and we're going to do all the minor prophets. As you know, don't forget, you can go get the books on Amazon right there. You can read them. Actually, the study guide I do not have on ebook. These you have on ebook for $2.99. You can get the printout book, but you can have the answer key and the study guides right here. They're $12.99. But anyway, you know. Or you can, you know, just watch the videos that we produce. But either way, study these because this will really give you so much confidence that this is it. This is it. There's nothing that can stop it. And it just keeps you filled with hope and confidence and joy. Really, really does. All right. All right. Now, let's see. I guess let's go to number 22.
Okay. We've all been pushed into a corner. We've been allowed to live where the elites say we can live, in a little box in a toxic dump, in a gray wall prison cell, sky filled with chemtrails. Just like our Israelite ancestors, we have survived anyway. But guess what? We will be free to live where we please, on the mountains, in the foothills, on the coast. We won't live under their thumbs anymore. We will be free. Can you just imagine it? We won't know how to act. We will have to get used to it. Just look at all the blessings that will be poured out on us. Our enemies will be gone, and we will have back everything they stole from us. And one more thing, this is going to tick off the Edomites to no end. I don't care one bit. It actually makes me laugh with joy. This one thing is the most important thing, the one thing that is the only thing, the thing that makes every other thing worthwhile. The last verse of this short prophecy from Obadiah, the best verse possibly in the entire book. What is the amazing promise at the end of verse 21? And the Lord himself will be king.
There you go. There you go. How you like that verse? Yes. That is the pièce de résistance of the book of Obadiah. The Lord himself will be king. Imagine that, you guys. The Lord himself ruling the earth and the righteous along with him. You have proven yourselves in this day to be strong and faithful warriors. He says, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over much. This is where we're headed in the golden age, where the righteous will rule things. Thank God for Tulsi Gabbard. The Lord has blessed her to be such a righteous ruler. And she did humanity this amazing service, right? We're going to see that in every position in the world. From dog catcher to everything, we're going to have the righteous ruling. And the Lord himself will be king. He will be king over the entire world. Everyone will know him. The Bible says that you won't have to tell people to know the Lord, because they will all know him from the least to the greatest. This is all throughout the minor prophets, that the Lord himself, he says, I will live among you. It says it a couple times in Zephaniah, to various places it talks about that he will live among us in the millennial kingdom. So that's that. Like I said in this passage, that's probably the best verse maybe in the entire Bible, is for him to live among us. Just like it was with the disciples back in the day, but even better, because he's no longer there to take on the sins and die for us, but actually to rule the world. I'm so thankful that we live in this day. So thankful. I'm ready. Who's ready to live in a world where our Lord Jesus is the King of the world? Me. I know you are too, Tammy. I know everybody on the chat is. Okay, I hope that was, you enjoyed that. Can't believe it's an hour and 15 minutes. This goes so fast. I can't even believe how fast this goes. But it was so important. I wanted to take the time for you guys to understand who is Esau, who are the Edomites, to come out of the brainwashing that they foisted upon us, and to really understand this is a fight between good and evil, and that evil loses and good wins. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Again, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, that you are the King of the world. Thank you for this wonderful book of Obadiah that now we understand. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us by your grace to have the same faith as Abraham. We believe you, and you count it to us as righteousness. We stand in this righteous place, completely forgiven, and not only forgiven, but also perfect in your sight because of our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, what you did for us on the cross, we thank you forever and ever and ever, and that you have touched our hearts and made us a new creation. And thank you that you did not leave us to ourselves like many have been left to themselves. Lord, we don't understand the whole picture of why this is all has happened, but we trust that you, in your infinite wisdom, said this was the way it had to be for the world to see the difference between good and evil, the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And we see it, and we're sick of it. We're sick of it. We don't want any more evil. We want this world to be run by you and in righteousness. I thank you for everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion. I pray that you'd help us to fulfill the role that you've given each one of us to do. Help us to share the truth, wonderful truth, that this is biblical. This is what's happening. This is the great day that we've been waiting for, and it's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace in this golden age for us. I pray you'd bless us so that we can bless others. I pray you'd bless us so that we can get the truth out to others and to help those who are on the front lines. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right. Before we go, super quick, don't forget to support Mike Lindell. I've got a little video that I'm going to share today. He's exposing some bombshell information. I'm going to share that a little later today. I'll watch the social media and make sure your bell is rung on here, and you'll see what he's sharing on that. And don't forget to help support him, because he is on the front lines. There's nobody who's been attacked like he has. He's got some great things that are on sale right now. Some of the beach towels. He's got the Giza Dream Sheets. And some of these things were like, that they were saying that they were sold out. And I said, what's the deal? He says, oh, I need to make sure that we have it, because we have the product. We just need to make sure that it's in the system, that's in the product, that we have the product. Anyway, so definitely the Giza Dream Sheets are like $50, any size. So definitely, and you can actually call over there and use the promo code Melly, and you can get them for that. So definitely this is a perfect opportunity, because it saves you money, and it also supports Mike and all that he's doing. And he says he and President Trump are like this on what he's doing. Number two, don't forget to go on the health page and make sure you're detoxing, because they're still spraying us, and they say, and eat healthy. Try to get the green smoothie. You guys do that green smoothie. Take care of yourself, because they're attacking us, and I'm sure that it's not over. These people, I don't know what's going to happen when the truth comes out about them. No telling. And we're waiting for the storm is upon us. No telling what they're going to do. So just pray, and the Lord will protect you. And just do everything you can to protect your family from all the tricks and traps of the enemy. He's seen us this far. He's going to see us to the end. Right, Miss Tammy?
That's true.
All right, guys. I love you. I'm so thankful for every one of you. I'm so thankful that we're here together. I'm just crazy about you guys. And I'm just forever will know that we were in this battle together. Yes, Miss Tammy?
Oh, I just wanted to add that it was a good reminder in this chapter, too, that he does open their eyes when it's his time. There are people that he just is not, when we're frustrated about people we're trying to reach, that it will happen. He's doing it in his time. We're one of the lucky ones that were in the forefront, is all I can.
Thank you for saying that. Yes. Good reminder. Thank you for that. It's going to happen. So if you've got, just wait on the Lord's timing, right? Yeah. We believe God. Mm-hmm. Just believe him and trust him. All right, guys. I love you. We're going to jet out of here. And we love you. And we will talk to you later.